are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable, that is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of...
The Lars Podcast. Melt with terror.
And stuff like that. I don't have any kind of Halloween shit to say.
You don't have anything spooky over there?
Mm-mm.
Hey guys, it's the Lars Podcast.
Wasn't that the case last week?
Where you didn't have anything to say?
We went the whole Halloween show without saying a single spooky thing.
Yeah, last year we totally forgot, but I think that was incidental. I think we were excited about something else. And
was that a year ago when you said, boo, fuckers?
Probably.
Jesus.
It could have been 2 years ago.
2 years ago, we didn't have a podcast.
Yeah, but I could have said it. Boo, motherfucker. Hey, guys, it's Lars Podcast. This is Ben.
And this is Ralph.
And we got producer Ryan with us, as always, and it's our spooky Halloween show.
It's very spooky.
It's very spooky. We want you all to draw the curtains tight and turn the lights down a little bit and cuddle up and listen to the podcast and see how scared you're going to get. It's like a ghost story. Yeah, Ryan just mimed turning a flashlight on under your face, but I thought he was doing one of those trach things.
I hope you are scared of the Lars.
I don't know if that even comes through.
We'll find out later.
I guess so. He was doing a flashlight, but he was using a pen, so.
It's a pen light.
Do we have a flashlight in here?
Checking a tonsil.
Not in here.
So yeah, sit around the campfire and listen to this and just get your shit all freaked out by how spooky we are.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
How was the Halloween party from your perspective, Ralph?
I was tired, so
yeah.
A lot of it was laying in bed with Ryan.
Scary!
Spooky.
Yeah, you were like drained.
Yes.
So I can see where that
was. Drained of all energy. I went as Kryptonite underwear wearing Superman.
Dead.
Who wouldn't die? It's Kryptonite.
No, you had a costume. You could tell.
It turns him into regular man, right?
And no, Kryptonite will eventually kill him.
Superman.
Magneto.
Yeah, I bailed out on my costume, which was going to be Miami Dolphins running back Larry Zonka, but the American Gladiators co-host version of Larry Zonka.
Miami Dolphins running back Larry Zonka in American Gladiators gear.
Yes. That's what I was going to go as. And I had decided that I wasn't going to go in a costume, but because I still had some Halloween spirit left in me,
uh-huh,
I went as the three-hole punch version of Ralph.
Which was a reference to the brilliant American TV show The Office.
That's correct. It's very easy, and you could put your entire costume in your pocket.
Yes.
And it's very comfortable because you just wear your normal clothes.
And then put on three black circles to indicate where you've been punched out. Mm-hmm. And
are there any pictures of me as that?
Not showing off the circles, I don't believe. Not on my camera, where I only took like 30 pictures the whole night.
I didn't look at the pictures you sent yet because Yahoo decides now they're going to show thumbnails of file folders as opposed to thumbnails of the actual photos.
You got that too, huh?
Yeah.
I've only noticed that like...
When and it totally sucks ass because you can't view the pictures ahead. You have to go in and download them, which
is
for
pointless.
Yahoo is a process.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a process. I don't know if it's going to pay off or not because I might get a picture. I go through
of
all that and
feet.
Get... Yeah, something, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I like it when you get a thumbnail because then you can make the choice ahead of time.
Yeah.
Or not download any of them. Just be like, oh, that looks like fun. Delete.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I noticed that I'd got that from people, and I guess I didn't realize that I was sending it to people. Because yeah. I don't look at my own emails.
Yeah.
That is spooky.
It is. Entirely so.
If you think about it.
What was your costume, Ben?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I went as Jemaine Clement from the hit HBO series Flight of the Conchords.
In a very, very well-done costume.
Thank you.
Very
oh,
well done. Has some great pictures of that.
Yeah, it was me and my roommate James, and we've told you out there to listen to watch that show. And so since you do everything we tell you, you've seen it, and you know exactly what I was dressed as.
Yeah.
And it went really well. It wasn't particularly spooky.
But it was comfortable,
but
right?
It was quite comfortable.
That's the best way to go.
What's that? My fan? I can't hear it.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, the fan base. You have to call her the fan base. Makes it sound like there's more than one. yeah, exactly.
I'm right now listening to a conversation between Ben and Ryan, which is asinine because I'm on Ryan's side on this. Because I totally knew where he was coming from, Ben. Come on.
Well, that's good. Good
you're
you
you're a smarty.
I didn't pick it up in that split second.
Are you?
I'm glad that,
like,
that brought you levels of disappointment.
You're like a Boston fan right now.
Previously unheard of.
But you had, the thing is, you mentioned James.
I did mention James.
But you didn't mention the rest of the cast, which was equally as awesome.
That's true. There were four of us that
there
dressed
was
up as
four
Concord
total. There was
people.
I have never been part of a dual costume before, or like a theme costume.
You were unintentionally.
And then yeah,
in 2001. 2000.
Oh yeah. Well, I kind of got. Yeah, I was. Not,
it was
I wasn't really happy with it
because
I don't like theme costumes, so I was kind of not happy with it. But there was really
nothing
I
could
do. It wasn't like he knew what I was going to be, and then
yeah,
it was kind of a
weird. In 2000,
situation.
Ralph went as Brody Bruce. With the alliterative name from Mallrats, and Matt and I coincidentally, apropos of not even any talking about it at all, we went as Jay and Silent Bob. So.
Yeah, and then last year's Deja Vu.
That's right.
And Duquois.
Mike. What's that?
And Duquois.
Yeah.
And then, like, last year there was a three-person combo, which I guess the past couple years there's been three-people combo, but this is, like, the first time it's been a four-person combo.
Yeah.
And your other roommate, Matt, went as the friend of the Concords,
yes,
Dave.
Their best friend who runs a pawn shop.
Yes. And then
Jocelyn went as the fan base.
As Mel.
Yeah.
You got to get those pictures up because those are some fun pictures.
Put them on the MySpace.
I wish I could put the picture that I have of Matt from my cell phone.
Is it a good shot?
It's a picture of him in full costume playing Centipede. you just have to see it.
But... Why can't you?
I don't know how to do it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what
and
we can
do. I
don't
know if I can, so.
But yeah, for those of you that don't watch Flight of the Conchords and don't do everything we say, I'll put up comparison pictures, too, so you can see
awesome. Do
how
that.
Awesome we are. But that was good.
I'll put up comparison pictures of myself as well. If there's pictures of me, I don't remember anybody taking a picture of me at the party.
I have, like, two pictures of you, but they don't show the whole punches at all.
Okay. It's like 2002. When I was Riverman, apparently, I think what had happened was it was like the last year of actual photographs, and then 2003 was digital, and there was all kinds of digital photographs.
And I think there was also something about 2002 where, like, no one had digital cameras yet, but all their regular cameras had broken. They hadn't gone to replace them yet.
Something strange.
There's really very little pictures from that year.
Yeah,
also,
I haven't seen a single picture of me as Riverman at the party.
Yeah.
Even though I know there's one of me and Xantar together, because the whole thing that year was we were going to duke it out.
I thought
it
was cool. What other costumes stood out in your mind from the party?
Jeff, our friend Jeff.
Jeff was good.
Was good.
Engineer Jeff went as the Timberlake, right?
Or Sandberg. I don't think it mattered.
Timberlake or Sandberg from the Dick in a Box digital short.
That was a very good costume.
Well put together. I thought Felicia was a sexy pilgrim when she first showed up.
What? Really?
I thought she was like a pilgrim, but a slut. Because it was dark, and I was in the backyard, and we had those green lights up, and she had the big hat on.
And you're wearing the Jermaine
glasses. And then I looked at her outfit, and I got a big hat on. And but it turned out she was dressed as like a sexy detective or something.
It was a gangster.
Sexy gangster.
All right.
Wrong side of the law. My bad.
And then I can't think of any. Ryan was, producer Ryan here was Mr. Brown, Mr. Charles Brown.
Good old Charlie Brown.
Yep.
Well, that was pretty good, dude. That was cool. Play to your strengths.
Your strengths.
I'll stick with that. So that was cool. We did the standard eye candy of put on a scary movie, but I don't think anyone was in the living room the whole night.
No.
Everyone spread out and they were mixing.
The centipede machine was a big hit as well.
That's that too. I had to take my cobra to the vet, and then I nodded my head until I got my thumb stuck in my butt.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about right
That's
now.
That's from 30 Rock. Tracy Jordan comes back and says, "Hey, everybody, I'm back from whatever Liz Lemon said."
Oh, that's correct. Got it.
That was scary.
That was spooky.
If you think about it.
I'm freaking out, Liz Lemon.
Our friend Dylan came as one of the characters from the Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah, the Jason Schwartzman character.
That's the one.
Jack?
I think so, yeah.
I think his name was Jack.
Whitman.
Witwicky. I should have gone to Sam Witwicky. Put on a stroke shirt and...
If you could tape sausages to your fingers, you could go with Eric Davis.
I'm gonna sausage fingers. What if I was Sam Witwicky, but then I like made a cardboard box suspenders of like a Camaro, but then put fake legs over the side,
like one of those like ostrich riding dudes.
Yeah, or like the guys who dress as Han Solo on a tauntaun, or a gorilla awesome. In a cage. You've a got, man holding a gorilla in a cage.
You've got like 360 days, so get started.
I think I know what I'm gonna be next year.
Already?
Actually, I know what I'm going to be next year.
Was it something I told you?
It's something that I knew was going to take a lot of time. So I thought about it 2 weeks before this Halloween.
Okay.
And I think it's going to make up for this Halloween.
Okay, cool.
It's going to be pretty dope.
That's what Mr. T was for me. Mr. T made up for the previous Halloween. It made me very happy.
What were you last year? Or the year before Mr. T?
I was two kids posing as an adult.
Dude, okay. You know what? I'm not going to get into this one because I thought it was funny.
Thank you.
I just think that the how it turned out, it did look like a kid was giving a bearded guy a head.
Yeah, it was a
there was
a problem with the execution.
It's a tough execution.
And it's high concept.
Yeah.
And I'm not very good.
Yeah, you just get wasted and pass out.
Yes.
Which are some fucking hilarious pictures with you laying on your stomach with kid legs coming
kid
out
legs coming up
from underneath
me.
You.
Like like a house that fell so on the wicked kid of the West.
Oh, my God.
So I know what you mean about having an awesome costume.
Which, speaking of, I think that you passing out isn't like a real thing. I don't think you actually pass out.
I just go to sleep.
But it's like it's like something switches in your head where it's like, oh, it's party mode. This is what I'm supposed to do. Because you locked yourself in your room, passed out. And we had to like bang on your door to get you out. And you opened the door, gave the thumbs up to everyone like the end of a Jackie Chan movie, and then partied for like another like 6 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think instead of passing out, you should call them party naps.
And just a quick little party nap and then come back to the party.
Yeah, party naps.
Hey, if you guys can bang on my door and get me out, I will definitely re-party.
Well, just don't lock your door.
That's
I don't know
key.
How that happened.
That door is scary because you can lock it and you won't tell on the inside if you turn the knob.
Oh, it'll like jiggle like funny.
It feels like it's unlocked from the inside.
Huh.
So I've made sure that I never take my keys into my room.
That's spooky.
It's scary if you think. Well,
that gives me the van shivers.
Yes. It shivers my timbers.
That's the name of your house.
The shivers.
The new house, the van shivers.
The van oh, that's awesome.
That's when ghostly things are going to happen.
I have to write that down for next year's Evite. This year I called it the unnamed house because we don't have like a name for it yet.
It's like it's like the unnamed grave or unmarked grave.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was hoping to go for. That sort of nameless dread from not knowing what the house is named.
But you should call it the van shivers.
The van shivers. I like that. Oh, we talked about this at the party, and I don't know if you were there for it. But we've discussed doing the Super Birthday Fun Pack as a mustache party.
Oh, God damn it. Dude.
That's
okay.
Going to be awesome. So
can I grow a fake? Can I just do a pencil mustache or grow one in or do a fake one?
Yeah. Whatever you want. It's a mustache party. Do whatever you think that means. And you have until February to get it together.
I just shaved my beard from Comic-Con.
I know.
And I don't want to go back to a beard
right now. I just shaved my beard from like at least a year.
I know, but you like your beard.
Oh, okay, that's right.
See, I don't like my beard, and it's what, late October. The birthday party's in 4 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
To get a kick-ass stash, I'd have already started growing my beard.
You'd have to go the full beard out.
It's
now.
Already started growing since Friday.
And then shave it down to just the stash.
Yeah.
For just that night, and then shave it off.
Yeah.
Again. Well, we don't have to do a mustache party if you don't want. But I think all the kids will be very disappointed.
I think that our Halloween party this year was a mustache party. There was a ton of mustaches.
Yeah, there was.
Even
Burt
Brenda
Reynolds.
Had a mustache.
What's that?
Brenda had a mustache. She was Earl.
Brenda went as My Name is Earl. She did a really good job, I thought. That's a funny name for a magazine.
All right. But
okay, so mustache party.
We'll see.
It's on the table.
I'll do fake mustache. You guys have spirit gum all over the house. I found one. I found a bottle of spirit gum under the recliner or under the broke chair next to the centipede machine.
Ooh, spirit gum.
By the way, just before I forget to mention this, and this has nothing to do with the podcast, and it should probably be said after the podcast, but on 1UP.com, they do like a top 20 Atari video game commercials of all time. I highly recommend you go through it. The centipede commercial is awesome.
Right on.
They have the classic Pole Position commercial, but they have a commercial for like Space Fox, or it's not Star Fox. It's like Space Hunter, Fox Hunter, Space something.
Huh.
But it's some actor dude, but also it has Jane Krakowski.
Oh, yeah.
The girl from 30 Rock is in it.
Krakowski? I think it's Krakowski for some reason.
Yeah, she's like got to be like 20 or something. Huh. It's check it out.
Wow, that's cool.
OneUp.com.
OneUp.com.
I have no affiliation with them, but...
Oh, I'll check it out. That sounds like fun.
Get over there. There are a lot of fun commercials in there.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Do you want to get into what we're going to get into next?
Sure. Let's get into the meat of the episode.
Yeah, I don't know how much meat it's going to be, but, I mean, it's going to be as long... Or longer than our movie review section, but we don't have a movie review section.
That's right.
Today, so let's do this.
Dark night.
Get
it. It's a dark night. Dark night. It's a dark night.
Man, I only have 2 more days to say pumpkin knife.
You better get on it, man. You gotta squeeze all the joy.
But I'm glad, because by this time next year you're gonna forget
and I'll be
about it
again.
And we're all gonna show up with pumpkins and I'm gonna start saying it. And you're all
you know
gonna
what else
be
is
like,
fun is student pumpkin. But you can say that all year.
Student pumpkins you can say all year.
For the special segment this week, what Ralph and I are gonna do is we'd both like to talk about our top 5 movie monsters.
Our top 5 movie monsters each. So it's like a top 10.
It's like a combined top 10.
Yes.
A Lars 10.
We actually know each other's monsters. Oh, I think you only know one of mine.
Yeah.
Sweet. I know all Ben's. But
yeah, I give away too much info before the podcast.
Well, this is for a different reason. Because if you guys go to scottandsteve.blogspot.com, or if you go to DharmaLarsNet and go to the Dharma Larchives... Nice. Then you can click on the episode info and see our lists.
With photos.
With photos in photo form.
Which is that also on our top 10s oh so many years ago?
Or yes, it is. But cool. That is on, no, that is on our MySpace blog.
Oh, that's right.
So if you keep hitting older posts on MySpace.
That's how you get to the
I go
beginning.
Back every once in a while and I make sure that my top 10 women are still okay and good to go.
Make sure they're still hot.
Yeah, they are. So...
All right, so who wants to go first, you or me?
I'm gonna have you go first, because I'm afraid, because the one you do know of mine, I'm afraid you're going to feel sad if I do mine and then you do your number one.
Yeah, let's have yours be the number one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll go first.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, my number 5 movie monster is Stripe from Gremlins. Now, Stripe is totally malicious.
Uh-huh. And nutritious.
If you don't believe me, ask these bitches. can replicate himself almost endlessly, creating a horde of crazy, mechanically adept kill monsters. and he's hideously mutated from his original cuddly, stripey form. And I think he's a pretty cool little monster. I remember the end of Gremlins, watching that when I was a kid and being a little apprehensive about what was going to happen with young Billy and Gizmo and Phoebe Bates.
And then we found out what happened in Gremlins 2.
That's right. He got a job.
You see that?
He got a different job.
See that post that Dre sent a while back of Hulk Hogan killing the Gremlins in the projection booth that are interrupting the film?
Yes. You know what's funny is I didn't see Gremlins 2 in theaters for some reason.
Oh, I did.
I rented it. That scene's different, but it's like shot for renting a tape.
Really?
Yeah. So there's no scene of like... there's no scene in the projector booth, but there's like a scene as though the Gremlins are changing channels on your TV.
But it still cuts away to a theater or like a living room, which is really funny.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's like watching the airline version of Billy Madison, and there's like those extra scenes.
Like the kickball scene?
Yeah. And you're like, that's what the hell?
That would be spooky.
It is. It would scare me.
For those of you fans of film score, Gremlins 2 features an acting performance by Jerry Goldsmith.
Ooh.
And Christopher Lee, who was Dracula.
For those of you who are fans of film score, the film score to Gremlins 1 is awesome.
I have a question about Gremlins 1 because I haven't watched it that much.
They're called Mogwai.
They are. Do they ever mention them as gremlins at all in the movie?
The old guy that lives next door or near them, Mr. Zuckerman or whatever.
Yeah.
He mentions gremlins. And
is it within the context of like World War II planes?
Yeah, okay. He's talking about World War II style, and then when these tiny monsters show up and start killing everyone, the name kind of gets applied.
Huh.
So we don't know what the...
In the book, gremlin?
We don't know what the Chinese guy would call them. Maybe he'd call them
Mogwai
or maybe he has a different word for them after they've mutated.
Hmm. That's cool. I wonder if Gremlins 2, they probably call them Gremlins, like the whole
probably,
time.
Probably, yeah.
Sweet. Stripe.
Yeah, Stripe.
Okay, my number 5 is from a film in 1990. It's in the top 50 grossing films in 1990. He is, I would say, a monster of science.
Of science?
He's not like a conventional movie monster where he is... runs around and scares people.
Uh-huh.
But he would be depicted as a monster. Okay. And it's Peyton Westlake, a.k.a. Darkman.
Nice. Yeah, he's like a classic Universal monster.
Yeah, and he's from a Universal film.
Yeah.
He is essentially Dr. Frankenstein slash, well, kind of.
Yeah.
He's a mad scientist.
Yeah, he is a mad scientist.
Slash. And... but also, I don't know Vincent Price's character's name in House of Wax, but he's also like that. He essentially, he's trying to come up with replacement skin for burn victims, and he himself becomes a burn victim when...
crushing irony.
When a mob comes in and it destroys his labs, which is located on an area that they want to rebuild on.
It's like a classic 90s... mob wants to buy up land plot.
Yeah. Like, kind of like Robocop.
Or Batteries Not Included. Or
Brady Bunch the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
I'll take it.
Or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
But he burns himself, and then he has to try to... He finds, like, a burnt-out old warehouse and tries to continue his work. And he uses... his technology to create the faces of the people that hurt him originally, and he goes after them one by one, taking these guys out.
Yeah.
Total all monster. While trying to reconnect with his fiance.
Yeah.
So he's almost like, it's like, he's just like a
Jekyll
tragic
and
character.
Hyde or,
yeah.
Yeah. He's, you know,
and it's directed
cool.
by Sam Raimi, who's one of my favorite directors. Who directed Spider-Man.
A brief cameo by Mr. Bruce Campbell.
A very brief cameo by Bruce Campbell.
If you can even... Yeah, you can call
it cameo.
That, right?
Yeah, he's in it for a little bit.
You don't have to speak to have a cameo.
Yeah. So that's okay. Number 5 is the character Peyton Westlake.
Better known as Darkman.
Yeah.
My number 4 movie monster is the Rancor from Star Wars Episode 6, The Return of the Jedi.
The Rancor is pretty tight.
The Rancor is awesome. It's a big monster that Jabba keeps in a pit to feed sexy chicks too, when they won't F him.
When a giant monster owns a gianter monster, then you know the gianter monster is pretty bad.
And how cool is the Rancor that he has a keeper? And the Rancor keeper is like one of the best little tertiary characters in the Star Wars movies.
He's fat and he cries.
Fat and crying. Reminds me of me on Sunday nights. So the Rancor, Luke fights him and he uses the Force eventually to kind of defeat him. And,
sort of.
It's just a big, creepy monster. And I had one. I had a Rancor toy when I was a kid.
Uh-huh. Did it bite through a bone?
If it came with a bone, it's long lost and I don't remember it.
All right.
So if you let the Rancor out, I'm going to let it do what it's going to do. And that's the Rancor. That's number four.
Spooky. My number four is Possessed Henrietta from 1987's The Evil Dead Part 2.
Oh.
Portrayed by Theodore Ted Raimi.
The scene virus himself.
This is my second Sam Raimi film on my list.
And
my last, but...
Well, you don't have the monster from For Love of the Game. You don't have Kevin Costner.
I don't have the circular saw
from For Love of the Game. The villain.
John C. Reilly as the catcher? No.
John C. Reilly, we're going to be awesome for you right now and murder you. Henrietta.
Possessed Henrietta is the wife of Dr. Nobi, who lives in a cabin and is studying the Book of the Dead. And
his wife
becomes possessed as soon as he reads passages from it.
Yes.
She's locked away in the cellar, buried underground, and unearths herself as soon as Ash is locked away down there by himself.
Classic.
And it's also classic scene virus.
Yes.
Which is Ted Raimi's nickname.
Does he have like a mouthful of milk in that one? Or is that...
No, what happens is you've seen the extra footage where it's a full bodysuit. And when they take it off, the white powder the white glue that glues on the prosthetics and stuff melds with the gallons of sweat and it starts pouring out. and in one scene, when he turns his head towards the camera while he's hanging from the rafters, when he turns his head towards the camera, you could see some of that goo sweat pouring out of his ear.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty grody. So Possessed Henrietta. And I guess regular Henrietta is creepy too.
The scene virus... When Ralph and I went and saw The Grudge, we actually ended up at the theater at different times, and we didn't connect. We didn't know that the other one was there or not. We weren't sure. So we're sitting in completely different rows of the theater, and the scene virus showed up on the screen, and I laughed because he makes me laugh. And Ralph said later that he knew I was in the theater at that moment.
Because no one else would laugh at the appearance of Ted Raimi.
Yeah, just because he shows up.
Or at Adrian Brody talking about a dead child.
Yeah. Those are my two favorite things to laugh at. So it wasn't like a sustained laugh. I think I gave it my Randall Graves. Yeah.
69. Spooky. Where's my copy of Clerks, by the way? Anybody out there listening to this podcast have my copy of Clerks? Let me know.
Did you find your copy of Goonies?
I only knew, lost that, or... knew about it yesterday.
So you're not that concerned with it.
Well, I haven't looked since yesterday.
Okay. My number three monster is the bride of the monster from the movie Bride of Frankenstein, which I watched a lot as a kid. And I actually prefer it to the original Frankenstein.
I hear that it's a lot better.
It is. It's just the... I don't know. It is like Ms. Pac-Man. A lot like Ms. Pac-Man. I don't know. I guess... it just appeals to me more. Maybe it's more
it's got
modern
chicks.
Sensibilities. But also that chick is like weirdly hot, like creepily maybe hot, kind of. That's fun.
Because, I mean, Frankenstein's monster is big and gross and nasty looking.
Yeah.
Like he's not like a good looking dude
like
in
chick.
The slightest. She just looks like a girl.
With like messed up hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's a full-on monster.
And she's a classic. She's totally a classic Universal monster, which I think is the only ones we have
is her
on any of our lists.
Her and Darkman, yeah. She's stitched together from dead people, brought to life with lightning. But she
did he stitch together big jugs?
I sure hope so. He could have given her like six. He could give her like jugs on the back, so you can have fun while you're dancing with her.
Bitch of the monster.
Because
that's a female dog.
But Victor works with Dr. Pretorius in this one, and I think Pretorius like grows her organs in a vat or something.
I haven't seen the film. I haven't seen the original either.
Yeah, I would say watch
the original
Bride eventually, because there's some good music in it that you've already heard.
From Flash Gordon. I was watching The Women of Wongo by the film crew, and there was some Flash Gordon music in it.
Was it old enough that they were still doing that same thing, or was it like recent enough that they were stealing music?
Oh, no, I lied to you. It's from Planet from Outer Space is the music they use.
That's a lot more recent.
Actually, I'm going to let you borrow that.
Before you Netflix it back?
Yeah, or if you can Netflix it back for me.
I will, yeah.
Because, yeah, I'll explain to you after why that's no big deal.
So, yeah, The Bride.
The Bride, that's your number three.
She's played by the same actress that plays Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley in the film. Uh-huh. Unless I'm horribly mistaken.
No, that sounds familiar.
Which is a cool bit of like stunt double casting, kind of like how the dad in Peter Pan always plays.
It's like, wait, why is that? Is that a rule?
I guess.
No, but I checked out the most recent incarnation of Peter Pan from like 2002, the one that James Newton Howard scored.
Oh yeah,
spooky. And the guy plays Captain Hook.
If it is a rule, then Peter Pan must have a lot to say about, psychology.
I wonder if in the books they mentioned that Captain Hook resembles the father. That's so strange.
I think it's a holdover from theater tradition. But
in the motion pictures, I mean.
Was Peter Pan played by a chick or a dude in this movie?
A dude.
See, so they threw away one tradition.
I would tell you my story. I'm totally going to ruin this because someone's going to steal it out from under me.
What's that?
I was going to do a story about
Kathy Rigby.
About
scary.
It's almost like an alternate version of Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
It takes place on Neverland, and it's the Lost Girls, and it's not Peter Pan. It's like Pamela.
Petra Pan.
And it would be played by a man. So it'd be like a comedy. It'd be definitely self-aware.
Like Will Ferrell.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneidley.
But you know what I mean? Like
this fall.
So that would be
That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be one of those clever stage plays like Wicked or Titanic.
Yeah. So
that stage play Titanic that everyone's so familiar with.
You'd make a $1 million and sell T-shirts by the pound.
And then they would turn into a musical, and then they would make a movie based on the musical,
based on the musical in the movie. And then you could get a cake at the premiere from Duff at the people at Charm City Cakes.
Fuck yes, I would. And it would have a girl with a schlong on it. My number three is, I believe, by listening to the commentary, is a character without a name, but they call him The Man, and he's from 1962's Carnival of Souls.
Ooh.
Which is a movie that I own, and it's on Criterion, and I recommend it. It's very, very spooky, and if you've seen the movie, you know who I'm talking about.
I haven't. I think we tried to watch it one time. But
We did watch it one time, and I know that you would remember it. He's just like an old guy with like kind of like crazy hair, and you just see his face in like reflections and stuff.
Nice.
He's very creepy. He's like cool. This ghost creature that lures this woman into a carnival of ghosts.
Of souls.
it's very creepy and spooky. And it's the one, remember the picture I used to have it on my desktop. I got it off the Criterion Collection. It was just the face.
Yeah.
That's
like
the guy.
Dark. And then you can barely make out the face.
Yeah.
That movie is like more like psychological and suspenseful and creepy, right?
There's also scares in it. Like,
but there's some,
it's fucking creepy.
That's cool.
It's like, yeah, it's creepy. The Carnival of Souls, The Man.
Okay. I'm going to do my number two movie monster now. And no, my number two isn't the Golgothan. that's the shit demon. And number two is another way of saying shit. So for those of you playing along at home, that was very, very funny. My number two monster
is... I'm playing
along
in my home, and I'm laughing my ass off.
My number two monster is the Balrog from the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
He breathes fire.
He was fire. He was fire and darkness, like mixed together.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a big, giant, fucking flying fire monster that fought a wizard.
Half fire, half darkness, all cop.
One perfect gentleman. I mean, I don't know. I've read the books like once, and I haven't read any of like the extra books. So I'm sure Matt would have a lot to say about the Balrog that I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But apparently there were these fucking demons in the middle of the earth, and the dwarfs just kept digging until they woke the demons up, and they killed them all.
Any four-story tall monster that comes out after me with a whip made of fire?
Yeah.
I'm done.
That deserves some respect right there.
I'd run towards it and say, hurry, cut me in half. The suspense is killing me.
Just take it now. Take it. Take my life. So, yeah, Balrog.
Awesome. From Fellowship of the Ring.
Mm.
My number two is from 1927.
Ooh. Taking it way back.
Taking it way back. This is the farthest
my
movie recommendations go. It scares the shit out of Kelly every time. He's old.
Because he's old, and he hasn't seen any movies since then.
Mine is from the film Metropolis.
Ooh.
A film which you are going to get so fucked on in the future.
Oh, my God.
When I stick it in my queue before you stick a movie in your queue to link that movie to your movie.
I'm going
to
do some pre-research on Metropolis, and I'm going to find a way out of it.
Good luck.
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to be like, Metropolis, that's where Superman lives. Superman was played by Christopher Reeve. And just go from there.
I chose the robot, which isn't a conventional monster, but it's a monster. It's a creation by a scientist, and it takes on the form of a good woman.
Yes, and they use it like as an antagonist, or at least
use it to essentially brainwash
the
poor people of Metropolis.
Yeah.
And she probably kills someone.
Sure.
She does flood this. She does ultimately make the people flood the city
and kill
the children. And she's fucking creepy as hell looking, by the way.
I was going to say Gort, but then I decided that I would say robots for another time. Maybe we could do top five robots.
Yeah. Your number one's Bender.
Yeah. Bender's awesome.
R2-D2's everyone's.
two.
So from 1927's Metropolis, I choose the robot.
The robot. That's a.
I was gonna pick Rotwang because he has a sweet name,
and he's
like a mad
scientist.
You'd
have to argue because it's like, is in Frankenstein, is Victor Frankenstein also a monster?
Yes,
kind of. Yeah.
If you say that Westlake is,
that's different because
he's the scientist, so I'm saying Victor Frankenstein would be a monster.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is Darkman has something happen to him where he physically changes and he becomes a monster.
Monsters come in all shapes and sizes. Hitler was a monster.
There's monsters in all of us.
And he wasn't all disfigured and shit.
Who was?
Hitler.
That's true.
You familiar with him?
Yeah, no, he was the guy that had a problem with the Olympics, right?
Yeah, he signed Indiana Jones's travel pass.
That's right.
What a
spelled
dick.
His name wrong.
You put Daffy Duck instead of Hitler. What a dick.
Uh-huh.
The guy was a dick all around for everything he did, like the two things we mentioned.
My number one monster, I should have said Hitler. Fuck. My number one monster is the queen alien in the movie Aliens.
Yes.
With Sigourney Weaver and Michael Biehn.
And Paxton, dude.
And Paxton. Famously, Paxton's awesome in that movie.
Game over, man. Game over.
Okay, here's the thing. First, they're eggs, and that's not a problem. But if anyone gets close to the egg, out comes this thing that wraps itself around its face and shoves its ovipositor right down your throat and knocks you out cold. No one can take it off because it bleeds acid. While it's got its shit down your throat, it lays a fucking egg in your belly.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, oh, I feel better. Then the egg bursts through your chest, killing you.
Which is, by the way, the worst part.
Yes.
Is that there's a point where you get to feel better.
Yeah, you're like, oh, everything's going to be okay.
Awesome. Let me enjoy my Cheerios.
Probably. And then this shit bursts through your fucking chest, killing you on the way, and then runs away and grows up into this thing that can pick people up and tear them apart and chew their heads off. Well, not only can, but does, and also still bleeds acid. So you've got that's the life cycle of these motherfuckers.
Uh-huh.
And here we have a queen that can make more. That's a monster.
Yes.
Almost, I would say, almost as bad as Victor Frankenstein.
Do you want to do number one? Okay.
Okay,
okay,
Ryan's going to do
my number one.
Special number one.
Okay, special number from Ryan.
I actually thought Ben was going to have this in his list, which is why I didn't shout it out earlier. My number one movie monster is Gossamer.
Gossamer?
Gossamer, or as I thought of him as a little kid, the big red hairy tongue from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh.
That is, he is my favorite. He's the quintessential movie monster to me. He's evil, he has fangs, and he wears Converse.
And
that'd be a fucking kick-ass costume.
You could totally pull that off.
Let me start growing my hairs.
So Gossamer, my number one movie monster.
Which can tie into our Lost podcast on account of one of the tracks on the Lost scores is Monsters Are Such Interesting People. Which is something Bugs Bunny says about Gossamer.
That's funny.
That's a good one.
Giacchino, classic.
Giacchino. Loves naming his tracks hilarious things.
Oh, Boone, you're dead. Let me name this track hilariously after you.
Why don't they make Boone out of the black box?
So Ryan's number one is Gossamer.
Good. I like that.
That guy needs a haircut, bub. Mm-hmm. Okay, my number one monster is dubbed the King of the Monsters.
Poorly dubbed.
Poorly dubbed? Are you fucking kidding me?
Poorly dubbed movies, because I'm making a translation joke.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that was a poorly...
No.
Okay. And it's from 1954, is Godzilla.
Yay.
The King of the Monsters. Now, I was out on my balcony earlier checking out the orange California sky, and I was like, if I saw Godzilla walking towards me, trampling, and
just
shooting,
busting up the city again,
and shooting fire out of his mouth, killing thousands and thousands of Asian people,
lighting up his spikes for another run,
I'd probably be pretty freaked out. And I even thought about, even if it was a giant man dressed in a rubber costume,
yeah, even if
it
looked
fake-y, still freaked my shit out.
Of course,
I grew up as a kid being very afraid,
much more so.
I was very afraid.
And why is he doing that? If you were a giant man, I would spend I would spend 30 years in hiding just to make a Godzilla suit so I could fucking run around in it knocking shit over. Oh, sorry, go on.
But yeah, that's it. My number one is from 1954's Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla.
On to the other 30 movies that came after that.
Whew. That's awesome.
So that's it.
Has Godzilla been portrayed more times than Jesus? Or Sherlock Holmes?
They say Sherlock Holmes is still the most filmed character in movie history.
That's crazy to think about, because there hasn't been a Sherlock Holmes movie since like young Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I didn't hear it.
So, that's our top
11. That's pretty awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And the King of the Monsters.
All right. Well, so that's our...
Should have put the King of the Wicker People as number one.
Oh, the bees! The bees!
That's the Wicker Man.
The bees! We told Matt that should be his costume. He should wear a suit and wear a wicker mask and have fake bees in it. Just yell about the bees all night.
I'm going to be dogs with bees in their mouths. And when they bark, they shoot bees at you.
All right, guys.
Let's get to the special spooky edition.
Scare yourself with this shit in your queue.
Stick it in your spew.
What?
There's life in the ground.
All right, let's get through this.
It's like
6:41, man. We've been recording for 42 minutes. It's a long show.
Okay.
I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm starving. So, this is the special spooky edition of Stick It In Your Ghoul.
Ooh.
That's fucking stupid. All right.
I was going to say brew, but...
So, this week, I am going... Oh, Stick It In Your Brew?
Stick It In Your Witch's Brew.
Oh. Did you see what you slurred the last one? I didn't know what you were saying.
It's from Homestar Runner.
Oh. Those people.
Yay!
Okay.
Oh, who we
beat? Yeah, because, like, Ryan, you can't hear Ryan on the mic, so anytime anyone reacts to Ryan, we have to re-say.
It's tough to train your brain to re-say everything someone says. It's like being interviewed in a documentary. Oh, how did I come up with that idea? Well.
All right, I'm going first.
Go.
And I was supposed to look at what year this came out, but I'm just going to go with 1981.
Okay, and I'm not going to listen while you talk, so I can try to link it to my movie.
Okay, the movie I am choosing is Train Comes Towards Camera. I'm just kidding.
That starts the train, right?
Yes.
I'll think about it.
Okay, so the movie I'm picking is the third time I'm mentioning Sam Raimi this show. And it's my favorite horror movie of all time. And it's part one of a trilogy. So, Ben, get your pen out and start writing away. It is 1981's The Evil Dead.
Yay.
Starring Bruce Campbell and Hal Belrich. Betsy Baker and Sarah York. And a bunch of other people that uses their fake names. Evil Dead is a movie about five kids that take a trip into the woods and stay in a cabin that used to belong to a doctor who is studying the Book of the Dead. And wouldn't you know it, he recorded all his findings and translations onto a tape deck.
Thanks, jerk.
Then when they play the tape deck, the ghouls come to life.
Yay.
I don't know. They're called Deadites. They're essentially, it's an evil presence that lives in the woods and starts taking the souls of the cabin people, one friend at a time. And it is a very scary movie that has a scene that's very scary where a girl runs into the woods and the woods start tangling up her in their vines and they rape her.
And it's very scary.
And it spawned two sequels, The Evil Dead 2, which
less
is
scary.
Which is less scary, but
more
still
funny.
Scary. And then Army of Darkness, which is all the way
fun.
Awesome and not scary and hilarious. So my movie of the day is The Evil Dead, starring Bruce Campbell. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening to us, because we mentioned it billions of times.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, I won't hold it against you, because now you can stick it in your queue.
In your queue and catch up.
It's probably one of the scariest movies I own, but now that I've seen it so many times, I've gotten used to it. So, but it is a very spooky movie. So, The Evil Dead. And I've talked about it enough. So, Ben, how you doing?
Oh, I suck. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there, so I'm probably just going to keep talking until I get there.
I'm going to try.
This is going to be
thinking about it in my head.
But, Evil Dead features a young man named Bruce Campbell.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to go Hal Delrich, but then I realized he never did anything ever again. And that's true of everyone else in that movie.
That's not true. He was in Sam Raimi's Crime Wave.
Crime Wave? Who else was that?
Oh, that's only what I heard.
Trying to get him to do my job for me.
like Crime Wave would help all? You because it would only get you to Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell was in Evil Dead, and he was in Darkman with Liam Neeson.
Ooh, kinky.
Now, Liam Neeson, kinky. Liam Neeson was in
Darkman.
What's that sex movie?
Campbell.
Kinsey?
Yes, Kinsey.
With Laura Linney? Is she in that?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's true or not. Liam Neeson was in Star Wars Episode 1, The Attack of the Phantom Menace, with Sir Ewan McGregor.
I like that you add the adjectives to prolong your thinking process here.
Is in Trainspotting with Johnny Lee Miller, who's in Hackers with Angelina Jolie, who is in...
I know where you're trying to get to, and I'm wishing you the best of luck.
I got nothing. She was in Mr. and Mrs. Smith with William Fichtner.
Okay. Okay.
He was in...
I want to give it a go after you do, because I want. I think I might be able to...
Armageddon.
Okay.
With Billy Bob Thornton, who's in A Simple Plan with Bill Pullman.
No, Bill Paxton's in that movie, sir, not Bill Pullman.
He's in A Simple Plan with Bill Paxton, who was
this is going
in...
on. He's not even close, Ryan. Ryan's asking me. Hold on.
Bill Paxton.
I'm not
going
to tell you. I want him to go.
Aliens with Michael Biehn. Michael Biehn is in The Abyss.
You're just naming movies. Are you
Ed Harris?
Are you getting closer?
No. Ed Harris was in The Rock with Nicolas Cage, who's in Face Off with John Travolta, who was in Get Shorty.
A Towel.
A Towel. With
Are you on Face Off?
Who's Mr. White?
Harvey Keitel?
Harvey Keitel. He's in Get Shorty, right?
Yeah, no. No? Not that I know of.
Dennis Farina?
Dennis Farina.
Pause.
No, I'm going. I want to try after you. Dennis Farina,
who's in Snatch.
Do you want me to go? Do you want me to give it a go?
No! Dennis Farina, who is in Out of Sight with Michael Keaton, who's in Mr. Mom with Terry Garr, who is in the brilliant movie from 1974, Young Frankenstein.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my Lord.
How many movies was that?
I could do it so much shorter if I like didn't have all the pressure, maybe. I don't know. But I got it without stopping much. Okay, you ready to go, Ralph?
I feel like giving it a go. What movie are we starting? Evil Dead.
Evil Dead to Young Frankenstein.
Okay. Bruce Campbell.
Bruce, was in Young Frankenstein.
Bruce Campbell.
He plays the little boy. Yeah, Sock 9.
Okay, I was going to say Bruce Campbell was in Fargo, which is true.
Okay, thank you.
With Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Who was in... Now I'm like losing my train of thought. I like had everything worked out. I said Steve Buscemi. Is that where I landed on? Yeah. Who was in... Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
With John Travolta. Shit, I should have gone with Sam Jackson. It was John Travolta, who was in The Punisher with Thomas Jane, who was in Boogie Nights.
God.
With I'm on Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
I already fucked up. With John C. Reilly, everyone's gonna want to listen to this, Ryan. It's spooky. Mm-hmm. With John C. Reilly,
okay,
who was in For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, who was in Night Shift with no, shut up, Ryan. Who was in shit.
You're at Night Shift now.
I know, I fucked up.
Oh.
I fucked up a while ago, and Ryan's not helping me. I'm not saying Michael Keaton. I'm not saying Michael Keaton. I'm going. It's spooky. All right?
You can say Michael Keaton spooky. And not go Terry Garr.
No, where am I? Night Shift. Right?
Yeah, you're in Night Shift.
With Fonzie.
With Fonzie.
With Henry Winkler, who is in...
Henry Winklerelli.
Who is in Happy Days with... Trailing off.
Are you on Happy Days now?
They catch a niner in there?
He's in The Waterboy?
He is in The Waterboy. With Adam Sandler.
Who was in Young Frankenstein. What if you ended up back at Evil Dead? Like, you forgot which way we were going.
That'd be awesome. If I ended up back at Evil Dead, it would be very helpful. Who with John Turturro. Wait, Adam Sandler, who's in Mr. D's, with John Turturro.
Okay.
Who... was in The Big Lebowski with John Turturro, who was in Young Frankenstein. I don't have any. I'm done.
Ah, yay. I'm done. I win.
I'm Ralph, done because, yeah.
Ralph couldn't get it, which means...
I couldn't get to Donald Sutherland.
What's that?
I was trying to get to Beer Fest.
To what?
Because Donald Sutherland was in... Cloris Leachman.
For Cloris Leachman, who was hilarious in Beer Fest, by the way. Okay, so Young Frankenstein.
None of that's edited out.
I know.
Are you
Trust
loving
me,
it?
I know.
Are you loving it, folks? Let's go.
If you haven't seen it yet, if you're not a fan of Mel Brooks films, you might still enjoy it because it's one of the least Mel Brooksy films of the Mel Brooks films.
It's like one of the few I enjoy.
Yeah, it's less farcical than they get later on. In terms of like just plain slapstick,
like Dracula and Dead and loving gags. It.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliantly made. It looks fantastic. It was co-written by Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder. Stars Gene Wilder as Frederick Frankenstein, the great-grandson or the grandson of the original Victor Frankenstein. Peter Boyle is hilarious as the monster. Uh-huh. All the acting is in the eyes, and it's just it's spot on. It makes every second he's on.
Some of the acting's in his mouth.
Some of the acting is in his mouth.
The putting on the Ritz segment.
Yes, yeah,
is very hilarious.
Hackman. Yeah,
Hackman makes a cameo. Uncredited. That dude's in everything.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go again.
I didn't write him down. That would have helped.
Okay, Bruce Campbell is an Evil Dead with Gene Hackman.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then...
Okay.
Marty Feldman is hilarious. So this is a classic movie. Madeline Kahn is great. Yeah, she's very great. Terry Garr.
Madeline Kahn.
Cute and
Dumb
good.
And Dumber.
Huh?
She's in Dumb and Dumber.
She isn't Dumb and Dumber.
Which, that's what it was.
Is that what you were trying to
do earlier?
I got it.
Bruce Campbell was in The Majestic, starring Jim Carrey, who was in Dumb and Dumber, with Terry Garr, who was in
Young Frankenstein. Damn.
That would have been much easier.
I took 20 steps and you took like 3.
God.
You know what? I don't care.
But after my huge fucking failing that I gave up on and didn't allow you to give up on.
As long as I get there, because I know there's still going to be the week when you do Metropolis, and I weep silently for 5 minutes. And then
so those of you who aren't a fan of this segment, trust me, it's way better than the week I do Metropolis.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Young Frankenstein, it's a humorous take on the Frankenstein legend.
Yes.
It's very funny. It looks great. It's shot well. It's in black and white.
Which is probably daring, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was. And they used a lot of the original set dressing from the Frankenstein films.
Like actual props?
Like Jacob's ladders and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, they called up the guy. Yeah, it's one of the greatest comedies of all
time.
They
called it the guy?
They called up the guy that did set design for the Frankenstein movies. And they were like, yeah, we're doing a Frankenstein movie. And said, if you want to come to my garage, you can pick up a lot of the shit from that movie. So
lazy. That sounds like laziness to me.
So check it out.
In Star Wars Episode 3, they recreated
the Tunisian
blockade runner.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I do know. I'm lazy.
Laziness is laziness.
No,
is.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, if you get a chance to put this in your queue, I fully recommend it. This is a good time of year for it. It's not actually scary in any way, although Homer does claim that it scared the hell out of him. And I just really recommend it. I think it's a great movie.
I highly recommend it.
It's so choice.
You want to skate?
Let's take off.
All right, let's go. That is the end of Open. That's my spooky.
We've come to the very end of our show.
If you guys would like to buy some spooky shirts, head over to shopsamandnate.com and you could wear them. They look like jack-o'-lanterns, kind of.
Yeah, they do. You could wear them to your grave.
Yes, we highly recommend that. And send pictures of that.
Send us some pictures. If you see any ghosts around and you're trying to take ghost pictures, send those to dharmalars@gmail.com.
And we will post those pictures on our MySpace page at myspace.com/dharmalars.
If you want to give us a call from beyond the grave, feel free to do so at 206-338-4261.
And if you forget all that stuff we just mentioned, you can find all that info over at dharmalars.net.
That's right. You get your Ouija board hooked up to an internet mouse, and then you can
do they have internet mouse and mice that look like Ouija board things?
They should.
And the mouse pad would look like a Ouija board.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Fuck, someone just made $1 bazillion.
You know what? Last week I invented a DJ. Did I tell you about this?
You invented a DJ?
Yeah, DJ Ouija.
Oh, yes, you did.
He channels dead mixers. Dead scratch masters. Yeah, so we love hearing from you. Send us some emails. You know, we know that it's a long time before Lost comes back, so let's entertain each other.
100 days, I guess, apparently.
100 days, someone said. But doesn't the writer's strike possibly play a part in that?
Ah, fuck the writer's strike.
Yeah, I know. But doesn't it possibly play a part in that?
If Lost starts airing in February, we have however many episodes they already did. So that adds on. That's 7 more weeks onto the 100 days we already have. So
okay.
Don't worry. Fucking don't worry about it, dude.
I'm not.
Don't worry.
I'm not worried, per se.
I'm not worried.
Okay, so that's our spooky episode.
And for Ben, this is Ralph. I don't know. I don't have anything. Let me think of a spooky line to go out. Okay, I got one.
Okay. You guys have fun out there trick-or-treating on Wednesday. I'm going to pass out candy for a little bit and then go out trick or drinking, drink or treating, and yeah, the you know, happy Halloween. Send us pictures of your costumes, darmlars@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right, I'm out. Lars La Vista.
Yeah, I thought you weren't going to say it. That was funny. You were like almost ready to go. I'm stalling.
No.
I am talking. I am saying good, bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
That's awesome.
Spooky.
Particularly scary.
What's cracking, Domilaz? Alright, so I listened to the thing at the end of the most recent podcast, and it was like Bob Barker saying, like, take your shirt off or something. Like, what? I was so confused. Please explain it. It was funny, but it was really weird. So if you could explain it, that'd be great. Alright, you guys are, like, the shit. You're awesome. Yeah. So. Yeah. Do you guys, like, actually listen to the calls before you play them? Because, like, this one guy who always calls in, he had, like, a freaking, like, 15-minute call. He was, like, seriously 15 minutes long. I'm sure, I mean, unless, of course, you have to listen to him. Which, hell, I could be ranting to no one right now. But, whatever the case may be, you guys are really cool. And your show's really funny. And, yeah, I'll talk to you later. Peace.
Ha ha ha!